everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the that's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical Rx by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton. Look in my eyes,
what do you see? This is the only live and local evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you at 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. On the HIP listed online, on the text line, on X, Twitter, at PCreighton1. Brian McDonald on the other side of the glass, at the master controls, at Sack by BMAC, on the X, Twitter. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app, tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975 and take us with you everywhere you go. How about them Fighting Aggies?
Yeah, picking up a road win at Ohio State. I mean, Aggies were ranked, Ohio State was not, so you could say they took care of business, but still a power school win on the road is a big deal.
It's a big win.
It'll look good on their tournament resume come March, as long as they obviously continue to play well over the course of the season.
The 15th ranked Aggies beating Ohio State on the road. You know what? That probably gets them up a little further. By the way, you know who they're ranked higher than? Kentucky.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
They're ranked higher than Kentucky.
I mean, top 15. So, I mean, yeah, you would assume this win probably bumps them up a few spots. They could be up to maybe, I don't know, 12 when we get the new rankings.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's going to be a new 12 because 12 was Arizona, and they just beat Duke.
Okay.
On the road.
Okay, yeah. Arizona's going to get a big bump up. That's
for
sure.
They beat Duke 78-73 tonight, so huge win for them. Villanova was 22nd. They thumped a who cares team. San Diego State is 17th. They're down 5 to BYU at the half. The Zags are 11th. They're up 5 over Yale at the half. So there's some pretty good games going on right now in college basketball. I know it's early in the college basketball season. A lot of teams have only played. They're playing like their second game tonight. But, you know, a lot of times when you have these non-conference games, you get a lot of really cool matchups like we got tonight with A&M and Ohio
State. Well, there's another one coming up. Now, A&M, if you're looking at the schedule, and by the way, all these games can be heard right here on ESPN 97.5, they've got a couple of gimmies coming up with SMU and Oral Roberts, but then they face Penn State and Virginia. Those are some marquee matchups. But then, flash forward, Patrick, December 16th, right here in H-Town.
Here we got a Mick Foley this. Right here
in Houston, yes. The Texas A&M Fighting Aggies right now number 15 in the nation, coming to Houston to face the Houston Cougars right now number 7 in the nation.
That could be
a sexy matchup taking place at the Fertitta Center on December
16th. Josh Beard versus Jeremy Branham. Let's go!
Yeah, exactly.
Now, there's a lot of really cool things going on in sports here as we get into that. Look, the Texans, there's a lot of excitement around the Texans, even though they're a walking MASH unit right now. I mean, just...
What was it, 26 players on the injury report yesterday?
I mean, it's insane the number of Texans who are injured, and we'll get into their injury report later on because it's a mile long. I mean, many trees died for this injury report to come out this week. They are down so many players, but yet there's still... There's still hope and there's still excitement because they've got the right coach, they've got the right quarterback, and they've shown a lot of improvement from week one to now. So there's a lot of things to be excited about. How about your Houston Rockets, who entered tonight with 4 straight wins? They have been playing terrific basketball. Right now they're in a tough one with the Pellies. They're down 5 with 8 minutes to go, but this has been a back and forth game.
They cut that lead down. It was they were trailing by 9 going into the fourth, so they've cut into that lead, and they're definitely in it going down the stretch.
So, you know, there's a little excitement for them. And then, of course, you have the Astros offseason, which I don't know if it's going to be exciting, but it's interesting. And you know, part of the interest is who's going to be the next manager, right? It almost feels, you know, we talked about Nightingale last night. It almost feels like there is this, they know they can have Joe Espada anytime they want, but it's like, I have my girl for prom, but like they're looking to see if they can upgrade. And
you wait till you find out your definite yes, and then you ask all the girls that are hotter to see if they'll also say yes.
That's kind of like what's going on here. Is it's almost like Jim Crane is trying to get a big name manager, but there really aren't big name managers out there available. Craig Council was a big
not,
name.
Yeah,
manager.
Not with Council off the market.
But he wanted to stay in that area. He literally chose to go to Chicago. And as we heard, you know, from Bob last night, the Mets could have paid that, but he wanted to be in Chicago. So it does seem that he leveraged the Mets to get the Cubs to pay more money. But, you know, that's smart negotiating by his agent. So, but as far as, you know, is there another big name manager? I'm sorry, I don't consider Ron Washington to be his big name manager. He hadn't been a manager in how many years? But I think that's a good hire by the Angels, who are trying to copy, you know, what the Rangers did, right? They're trying to, we're going to get an old school manager. We're going to let him pick his staff. We're going to let him do whatever he wants. And we hope he's going to change the culture around here and get us to turn around the way that Bruce Bochy went up to Arlington, did his own thing. They let him run the show and he changed the culture up there. They're hoping for that kind of bounce. And if you've seen the coaching staff that Ron Washington is putting together with Torrey Hunter and Eric Young Jr., I mean, he's putting together a hell of a coaching staff. So there's plenty of power names to drive that culture. Much like last year when James Click was essentially relieved of his duties, it wasn't about he did a bad job or they need a new direction or they need a new philosophy. It was about they needed a new personality because that personality didn't get along with the manager and had a fragmented relationship with the owner. They brought in a new general manager who, by all accounts, has a good relationship with the owner. But the manager couldn't get along with the GM this year either. And now the manager is out. And you know what? I said this many times. I thought it was weak. I thought it was shameful the way Dusty Baker, a man who was going into the Hall of Fame, a man with a tremendous record as a player and a manager, to go out total bitter bitch face. Let's just call it what it is. Because at his press conference, he talked about, "Nah, I kind of knew this was going to be my last year. I'd felt this way for a while. There were reports he'd been telling people for a while it was going to be last year. Now it's, well, you know, the big mean bloggers, they chased me out. I didn't want to deal with the big mean bloggers and social media." This man came up in baseball in the late 60s. When racism in the South towards black baseball players was still rampant and sometimes vicious. This man played with Henry Aaron. Right? He played in L.A. and became part of the first team to ever have 430 home run hitters on the same team. He was a world champion in 1981, beat the Yankees, Fernando Mania. He talks about Buck O'Neill, you know, who was a great player in his own right and a longtime great manager, and the lessons he learned from them. And Dusty faced all kinds of horrible things, you know, especially during his playing career, and certainly heard all about it as the manager in San Francisco, where they certainly had their fair share of controversies. Barry Bonds and his head gaining 9 sizes. With Steve Bartman and him being wrongly blamed for Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor's injuries. Cincinnati, Washington, and now here in Houston. Dusty's kind of had a reputation of being a guy who could be a little bit difficult to get along with if you're in the front office. But if you win, you win. For Dusty to bang the drum about how the bloggers made him leave is as soft can get. If you're a baseball lifer and you've been in this now 60 years, and now all of a sudden, oh, the big mean bloggers, they made you want to quit? Sorry, you're too damn soft to be playing, or too damn soft to be managing, or you're making it up to cover why you're really not happy, which is you didn't get the owner to stand by you and thumb your finger straight up at the general manager this year. You didn't get to tell the GM, kiss my ass. You didn't get another year of, I'm going to tell the GM he can go to hell. I'm going to tell the analytics department they can go to hell. I'm going to tell the R&D department they can go to hell. You didn't get that this year. And because you didn't get it, and you're not going to get it next year because the GM is assuming more power, hence Yiner Diaz already named starting catcher, you took your ball and went home. Fine. That is your right. But to sit there and blame bloggers is the softest, weakest, lamest possible excuse a man with as resume as great as Dusty Baker? It's pathetic. And I understand he's angry because he's not managing. He's angry. And he told you. He said, I'm not done yet. I still got other things I want to do. I think he's done. I don't think anybody's hiring Dusty Baker. 74 years old. But this was an angry man who was bitter and let his bitterness out and chose to pick on bloggers. And it is so beneath him to do so. But not to be outdone. Not to be outdone. Somebody who holds a local podcast right here in Houston said some of the most asinine crap that you will ever hear. And you know what happens when you say dumb stuff. P-Crate coming for you. Next.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
The worm is the spice. The spice is the worm.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical Rx by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So Jeremy Booth does a podcast with Jason Bristol of KHOU 11 called Extra Bases. And I guess their podcast numbers weren't what they wanted them to be. And they decided they were going to find a way to get some more clicks. Congratulations. You're getting clicked for all the wrong reasons. Usually when you carry water for a team or for a manager this heavy, you get compensated in some manner. Here is some of the most absolute ridiculous nonsense you will ever hear a member of the media say in a desperate attempt to get clicks.
You know, you don't, may not like him for this team. You may not think he's a good fit. But some of the stuff you guys said, you ought to be embarrassed. You ought to be embarrassed because the rest of the game looked at that. And this is right on the heels of Dusty Baker looking at that. Right? And saying, I don't want to be here anymore because I don't listen to the bloggers. That's why I went to the house. I'm 74 years old and all the stuff I went through, you ran me out. And some of you celebrated it. You got the rest of the game watching you. You want everybody to want to be here? Somebody said that the Astros job is the most desirable in baseball. Let me tell you something. Dana Brown's good. Okay? Jim Crane, as much as I got to be around him, man, that guy's been maligned a little bit. He ain't that bad. He's pretty good. He's got a pretty good group of advisors and they got a good clubhouse. And the reason that people don't want to be around is because of the bloggers and the people online that go torture them. And they're driven by at least one radio host. You're hurting the city, and you're hurting that. You're hurting yourselves. You're making yourselves look bad. Right now, you got to hope that the rest of the hope that baseball didn't see what happened with Ron Washington and what you said about him, and they did, and that somebody's going to want to be here, because Joe Espada, something somewhere else we're going to go, is a free agent, and I got a pretty good idea where the landing spot is if it isn't here. That's what happened with this. That's how Houston mishandled this. Not the team. Didn't have to be their choice. Club could have gone through it, made their decision. And you know what? They're right. Could have been Ron Washington, Joe Espada, Jason Bristol. Could have been any other people. Lance McCullers could have been a player manager. Who cares? It's their choice. Okay? But you guys embarrass yourselves. Again.
What an absolute crock of crap. For a member of the media to pile that high a load of crap and try to sell it like righteousness? Dude, take your soft ass home. A bunch of bloggers. You know, the same guys that everybody says, oh, nobody cares about bloggers. A bunch of bloggers chased a baseball lifer out of a team that just won a World Series a year ago, went to Game 7 of the ALCS this year. B flipping S. If you think a bunch of bloggers made Dusty Baker quit, you're effing high. You think bloggers here in Houston are mean, are cruel, they're too rough and tumble? Dude, you ever been in New York? I spent 40 years in New York. Media here is a freaking lamb compared to New York. How about Boston? You ever been in Boston? You been to Philly? You been to Chicago? You think bloggers here? Try when the actual real media goes after them and demands their heads. What do you think Buck Showalter went through this year? We got every host on a 50,000-watt clear channel powerhouse Ultimate Legacy Station screaming for his head on a daily basis. Did Buck cry about the media? No, he didn't. You know why? Because he's a freaking man, that's why. He's not a bitter little biatch. He's not crying. Oh, the media, they're so freaking mean. And for you to be carrying that water is pathetic. The only embarrassment in this city is that you posted that, you recorded that as an actual take, and you're pushing it like it's real. Nobody wants to come here? The job's not desirable? Then why is it the day after Dusty resigned, Dana's phone was blowing up? Everybody and their brother wanted an interview here, including Ron Washington. And I don't care how much cocaine he did. The mayor of D.C. could do cocaine, so can a baseball manager. One of my favorite players did cocaine, Keith Hernandez. You know what? Don't care. He got hits. Mets won a World Series with Keith Hernandez.
Yeah, I think that
Cardinals won a World Series with Keith Hernandez.
I think that entire 86 Mets roster was doing cocaine. Certainly Daryl Strawberry was.
Oh, did I ever tell you the story about Keith Hernandez and Daryl Strawberry?
Well, I assume it involves women, drugs, and alcohol.
So, a member of the media tipped off Keith Hernandez. This is like late 1986. Tipped off Keith Hernandez that Major League Baseball was looking into a Mets young black superstar who they knew had a cocaine problem.
I wonder who that could be.
So Keith went to Daryl and asked him, said, so what's going on? And you know what Daryl did? Gave up Doc Gooden like that.
He flipped on him? He was a rat?
Instant. Boom. And they were boys. Doc and Daryl were tight. They were thinking that he gave him up like that.
So Daryl couldn't make it in the mafia. He'd be flipping right away. The first time a cop even walked by, he was like, all right, I give up. I'll tell you everything.
Always keep your mouth shut and never rat on your friends.
Yep.
No, Daryl didn't.
Daryl didn't get that memo. That whole clip, I mean, you covered it. It's absurd. The part that's the most absurd to me is just the idea that a baseball manager who's a lifer who, let's say, I don't know, lives in New York or lives in Wisconsin or wherever these guys live is paying attention to Houston bloggers to the point that it turns them off on the job. Like, I don't even buy the fact that Dusty Baker didn't know who Shane McClanahan was at the All-Star game. You're telling me he knows who all the bloggers are?
He didn't know what hand hurt on Yordan.
Right. There's no way. Look, I get that he had a feud with Chandler Rome, but Chandler Rome's not a blogger. If that's who we're talking about here, then you got to change the verbiage of the term that you're giving to who Dusty has a beef with. I know he has a beef with Chandler Rome. That is not a secret. Chandler Rome tried to expose the things of Chaz McCormick and dared to ask general very basic media questions, and Dusty never wanted to answer those. I know he has a feud with Chandler Rome, but there's no way whoever the local blogger is covering the Astros for SB Nation or for Bleacher Report or for FanSided, whoever you want to name, I can't name them, and that's not a shot on them. I used to be that guy. I worked for SB Nation and Bleacher Report. If I can't name them, Dusty Baker certainly can't name them. He doesn't know who they are.
Oh, those big bad meanies at Apollo Media, man. I'm telling you. Those big bad mean guys. Stop it. Stop it.
There's no way baseball managers, I mean, I don't think they're paying attention to bloggers in the cities they live in. The baseball managers that would be on the Astros' radar to hire, you know, for this cycle, would not be someone that would even know who the Houston bloggers are. They're in another market doing their own thing. They wouldn't know who they are.
This idea that everybody is above reproach if you work for the Astros and you're not allowed to be criticized, and how dare these bloggers dare use things like numbers and facts to criticize a manager who, for whatever reason, decided he was going to go the exact opposite direction of numbers and facts all year long. Also, you decided to drop and a radio host. Spill the name.
Yeah, who do you think?
Spill the name or shut up.
I wonder, could it be anybody here?
Oh, it could be people here.
I mean, Jeremy had the ongoing bit of what's wrong with Dusty's lineup on a daily basis.
I don't think that was a big deal. I mean, sometimes there was nothing wrong with the lineup. But
Dusty seems to be pretty pretty rabbit-eared. If he's hearing the bloggers, he might hear that.
I got more than one time long text messages from the Astros organization that I was being too hard on Dusty.
Okay.
Very long text messages about things that I posted on Twitter about Dusty, and I had done this very long thing on it should be Dusty's last year and all the reasons why, and they were aware of it within minutes. Minutes.
So you think it might be you then?
It could be me. It could be somebody from their flagship.
I mean, Granato's been pretty hard on him, definitely with the Yonder Diaz thing. See, that's the thing. It all boils down to two things. Playing Yonder Diaz, playing Chaz McCormick.
Not pitching Rafael Montero. Understanding.
But the two big things are Chaz and Yonder.
How about understanding when your starting pitcher who hasn't had a good outing in 3 months, you know, is getting rocked in the first inning? You know, how long are you going to leave him out there? Look, there were a lot of things that Dusty did that cost them games. He was apparently the only person who didn't realize that the 2023 Astros were not the 2022 Astros. This was not the best pitching team in baseball. This was not one of the best fielding teams in baseball. He was the only guy who apparently never figured that out. Because he kept throwing, gave the starters too much room, and then kept going to the well with certain relievers who weren't pitching well, and would constantly put out lineups that were not his best offensive lineup, when it was very evident from the middle of June on, this team needed to score to win. This was not the 2022 team that could hold the opponent to one or two runs, and we'll just figure out how to score three runs some point during the game. When this team scored three runs, they lost. They lost. They couldn't hold the other team to one and two runs. Couldn't do it. Not for 4 months. And the only guy who couldn't figure that out was the manager. He wanted to manage it just like it was the year before. And the reason they got where they are is because that's how much talent is on this team. That's how much pride is on this team that was the defending champions. They weren't going to go down without a fight. Those last two games, they weren't really all that competitive, were they?
No, it was what, 9-4 and
11-4? I mean,
no, yeah, 9-4 and 11-5 or something like that. I don't remember exactly.
They got in game. They got absolutely annihilated. The pitching got hammered. I mean, you're leaving a guy out there to give up six runs in the third inning. What are we doing?
Yeah, and let's, I mean, look, we pointed out the use of the starting pitching, the use of the, you know, Rafael Montero. I still think the biggest two things are the refusal to play Chaz and Yonner at times. But let's not forget some other weird things Dusty would do where Yordan, or I remember with specific, you know, vivid memory of Kyle Tucker in a situation where, oh, well, Kyle Tucker, you know, he's either sick or he's hurt, he can't play, and then he strangely comes into the ninth inning as a pinch hitter. Like, well, if he was healthy enough to pinch hit,
then why couldn't he play?
Why couldn't he DH all game?
No, there were a lot of things that didn't make any sense. And for Jeremy, look, I don't know Jeremy Booth personally. I've never met him. I've never talked to him. This isn't, like, personal. I don't know the guy from Adam.
Well, it seems like Jeremy's taking it personal, like he's Dusty's kid.
I mean, if he actually believes any of that crap, he's freaking high. And I don't mean a little high. I don't mean he's just smoking some left-handed cigarettes. I mean, he's on everything.
I don't think that's it.
There's enough angel dust going through there. He's going to jump off a building and fly. All right, this is the most asinine, most ridiculous take to even attempt to call yourself a member of the media and put out hot dog poo like that. The only thing I can call that is a quest for clicks.
Yeah, I don't even think it was that. I don't think it was a quest for clicks. I don't think, as you said, smoking left-handed cigarettes. I think this is the case of someone being a Dusty fanboy and being hurt about their guy getting a quote-unquote run out of town and then lashing out at the people they believe to be the reasons that he was run out of town.
Yeah,
no, however misguided that may be. What that seemed like to me is someone who's deeply invested in Dusty Baker as the man and as the manager and is offended by people who they heard through the media and through the fans who didn't agree with him in that Dusty should be here continuing past the 2023 season.
If we looked at any other sport and added everybody else in baseball and any of them ever said the reason they left a job was because of bloggers, they would be ridiculed out of sports altogether.
I'll say this. If Booth is correct in that other managers who would have been candidates for the Astros job are now deciding not to come to Houston because of the bloggers, good. If that is legit, if Jim Crane's calling them and say, you know what, I was interested, but, you know, the guy from Apollo Media, I don't like him very much. Then I'm glad the Astros aren't going to hire that guy.
Hey, Larry GM wrote a column that was just so mean.
Yeah. I'm glad whichever manager would have said no to the Astros, if that is true, and I don't think it is.
It's not true at all. It's not true at all. Force.
But hypothetically, if it was, I'm glad that manager will not be here in Houston because I don't want him here if that's the case.
Yeah, that's why all those managers were calling Dana Brown the next day. Can I get an interview?
As old school as Ron Washington apparently called the Astros and said he wanted in, but they're being turned off by the bloggers.
Yeah, but then he found out about the bloggers. Oh, my God, the bloggers. You ever listen to WIP in Philly? Hear them ripping on guys? Did you remember what they did to Joe Girardi? I mean, are you freaking kidding me? Dude, you take that Charmin soft crap the hell out of here. That is pathetic. That is the most pathetic take I have ever heard. By the way, if you want to get into, you know, pathetic organization, can't hire anybody. What did we look at the Houston Texans as before they hired D'Amico Ryans? If the Houston Texans, who were a joke of an organization, who got lambasted by every media outlet in this town, every media outlet in this city, we trashed David Culley. We trashed Lovie Smith. We trashed the owner, Jack Easterby, the whole damn building. They got the best damn coach in the hiring cycle. Not because he was afraid of the bloggers. Take that and shove it right up your tailpipe.
ESPN 97.5.com. You need to learn.
Let the boy watch. He needs to learn the way I learned from my father.
Late Night Houston Sports Talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton.
presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by MedUS. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So, told you at the beginning of that last segment, the Rockets were down five, about 8 minutes to go. They are up three with 3 seconds remaining. Fred VanVleet went on a run.
Yeah, 8-0 run, all Fred VanVleet to give the Rockets the lead. And they will get the win here unless the Pelicans are going to brick a free throw, intentionally get the ball back, and then get off a three to tie, which with 3.1 left is very unlikely.
Well, Nance hit one of two, and he hit the second. So it'll be Rockets ball. 3 seconds. They're in a timeout. So,
oh yeah, you're ahead of me. Okay,
this will be.
I was about to say, what? You can see the future.
Yeah, this.
No, you're ahead of me.
This is going to be overwhelmingly likely to be the Rockets' fifth straight victory.
Yeah, only the Pelicans stealing the inbound pass would get them a win at this point.
And they got three different players with more than 20 points. Alpi, 24 points, 11 of 15. Fred VanVleet, 20 points, 7 of 15. He had 4 triples. Jalen Green, 24 points, 7 of 18. He hit a couple triples, also hit 8 of 8 from the line. Three different Rockets with 20 or more as they have a 2-point lead and the ball
and
with 3 seconds.
Some quality wins. I mean, the Kings were a playoff team last year. The Lakers were obviously the Lakers. I know Anthony Davis wasn't playing, but they still had LeBron. And I mean, the Pelicans with Zion aren't a bad team. Now, when Zion is injured, and he will be at some point this season, then they're not obviously as good. But the Pelicans early on, when Zion's actually healthy, pretty good team as well. So it's not like they're beating up on the bottom third of the league in this win streak either.
No, and Zion was on fire in the first
quarter.
Yeah,
Zion was great until he cooled off here in the second half.
You know, and the Pelicans had a big third quarter. They outscored the Rockets 31-16. But the Rockets have outscored New Orleans by 11 in the fourth quarter. And as you mentioned, Fred VanVleet, like his own run, 8-0 run just by Fred VanVleet. And that, look, that's the kind of leadership and floor generalship that they wanted. That's why they gave him the money.
That's why they paid him 100-plus for sure.
Yeah, Fred VanVleet, to be a guy who, when it gets to crunch time, is going to be the leader. And look, they gave him the opportunities to score, and he took them, and he hit them. He also had 8 assists. Alpi, 24-8. Jalen Green, 24-4. And this looks like this is going to be a Rocket victory as
Jalen Green's got 2 at the line, yeah.
Tari Eason's in the game. Tari Eason's second game back.
And Jalen making it interesting by missing the first.
You know,
not to do play-by-play here.
His second game, he played 19 minutes. Didn't shoot very well. It was only 1 of 8. But he had 8 boards and a pair of blocks. And he had one block that was just like, get that out of here. He swatted it into the stands.
Yeah, I think you mentioned leadership with Fred VanVleet, but not just VanVleet, but with some of the other players they've added with Dylan Brooks and obviously Tari Eason now stepping up. They just have, like, it felt like before past Rocket teams over these last 2 years, if Jalen Green went cold, it's like, all right, well, that's the ball game. See you in the next one. Now you've got so many more options where if Jalen Green does have the bad game, or you know Jabari Smith has a bad game, whoever, you've got so many more options now that could step up and fill that void, that this team feels more stable in their game-to-game performance because they're not relying on just the one guy to get it done.
No, and the leadership, not just, the offense or the defense, the leadership presented by Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks has been very evident. Those two guys have been huge additions. And then, they got the right coach.
Rockets win, by the way.
They get the right coach, and you see, the first game, they looked all out of sorts. They looked like they'd never seen each other play basketball before.
And they hadn't.
Since that point, their bell curve has almost been a straight line up.
Yeah, it's been pretty linear. Yeah, it's because even in amongst the three-game losing streak to start the season, they had that third game was against the Warriors, and if it wasn't for, you know, a classic Steph Curry moment where he just cooked everybody down late. I mean, remember the Rockets did briefly have a lead in that fourth quarter.
They had a two-point lead with 6.5 minutes to go, and then Curry hit four straight threes.
Right, exactly. So without, you know, MVP Curry just exploding in the fourth quarter, I mean, we could be talking about a six-game win streak. So, I mean, they were right there with a team that won the title 2 years ago.
It is a five-game winning streak for the Houston Rockets. They are now 5-3 on the season, 104-101 over the Pellies. You listen, in the offseason, we had hope. Hey, the Rockets could be better. You know, there's maybe they could challenge for that 10 seed, that like last play-in game. You know, because how many games do you need to win to be the 10 seed? 36, 38?
Yeah.
You don't even have to be 500 to get that last spot.
I was going to say between 35 and 38, yeah.
Now, you don't have to be...
Let's see what it was last year,
full,
just a second.
You don't have to be full 500 to get that last spot. But they're now 5-3. And you see how much better this team is defensively, how much better they are offensively, that they went from, I think, 27th last year in secondary assists to their like top five now. And that's on Ime. That is Ime Udoka getting these guys to buy in and make that extra pass. And they're doing it. And they're having success. Their defense is so much better. In fact, coming into tonight's game in their half-court sets, right, half-court offense, half-court defense, they were plus 11 on the season. The Rockets in half-court were plus 11. When did that happen last? When Rudy was the head coach? You know, it's been a while. I'm probably disrespecting Jeff Van Gundy there, but, you know, Rudy T never grabbed Alonzo Mourning's leg and laid on the floor. But this is clearly an improved Rockets team, and look, it's exciting to watch the Rockets.
All right, so the 10th seed last year was the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they were 40-42. So a little bit better than what we were thinking, like 35 to 38. But, I mean, doesn't mean it's going to be 40 every year. That number could come down.
You're in the mix.
Yeah.
If 40 got in, 38, you're in the mix.
You're going to be, you know, yeah.
You're fighting that last 2 weeks.
You'll be on the in the hunt graphic late into March and April.
Those last couple of weeks of the season, your games matter. You're fighting to get in. Your games matter. And, you know, from where they've been to fighting to have a postseason berth, that's a big jump. Look, you go plus 17 in the NBA. That's a monster jump.
Yeah, they won 22 last year. I mean, I don't see how they – I mean, I think it's at least a plus 13 to get to 35. I mean, it's early. They played 8 games so far. But the way they've looked during this 5-game win streak, I don't see how they – how they don't win at least 35 games. So you're already talking about a plus 13 win jump and probably even more than that.
The Houston Texans are basically a walking MASH unit.
Do they have anybody left or who's playing? Are you kicking on Sunday? Who's kicking?
I'm warming up my leg, baby. I'm warming up my leg. We'll get into the Texans and the Bengals next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of Old Greg.
I know what you're thinking. Here comes Old Greg. He's a scaly manfish. I'm Old Greg!
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by MedUS.
Hey, man, here for Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring. You guys know Dr. Ben changed my life 4 years ago. He can change your life, too. You deal with snoring issues, really bad ones. Maybe you have sleep apnea. Maybe you use a CPAP machine. Maybe you should be using a CPAP machine and you're not, which you know is dangerous. Maybe you have really bad sinus issues like I had. My sinus issues were really bad. They actually led to my snoring issues. You don't have to deal with any of those. All you need to do is call Dr. Ben Salento at Texas Sinus and Snoring. One of the premier and most prominent doctors in the greater Houston area. dealing with sleep apnea, one of the pioneers in Texas of the Aspire implant to cure sleep apnea permanently. No more CPAP. No more needing a CPAP. No more stopping and starting breathing in the middle of the night. Maybe you've got sinus issues like I did. Balloon sinuplasty to open up your airways so you can breathe, actually get air through. Get rid of snoring. Sleep through the night. Feel good when you wake up. It is possible. I'll tell you, look, I didn't think it was possible until I met Dr. Ben. I had been to more than a half dozen doctors in two different states, and they all told me, look, this is just, you're just going to have to deal with this. So thank God I went to go see Dr. Ben. Don't make the same mistake I did. Don't wait 20 years to do something about your issues. Go see Dr. Ben Salento. 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. Or go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Let Dr. Ben do for you what he's done for me, what he's done for dozens of other late hitters, what he's done for thousands of people in the greater Houston area. Let him help you break the cycle and breathe. Tell him I sent you by. All right, BMAC, do you want the good news or the bad news when it comes to the Houston Texans and who is and isn't dead?
Let's start off with the good.
The good news. Jerry Hughes was a full participant in practice on Friday. He is questionable, but generally guys who are full participants in practice on Friday play.
Now, you're kind of burying the lead there because there's a, I think, a
there
name.
Is. I'm getting to it.
All right.
Bobby Trees, DNP, Wednesday, limited practice Thursday, full practice Friday.
That should mean he's playing.
Larry Tunsil, full practice, no injury designation. Sheldon Rankins, full practice, no injury designation. Titus Howard, full practice, no injury designation. Derek Stingley Jr.
There it is.
Full practice, no injury designation.
Now, what I read from Aaron Wilson suggests that it's not 100% that he's going to play, but it sure would seem if you're able to, and Stingley had two full practices in a row, Thursday and Friday, like you said, no injury designation. I don't see how you don't play, especially considering the injury that you'll get to in a moment at cornerback that's probably keeping out their best corner.
If you don't have an injury designation, it's almost a lock that you're going to play.
What would be the reason he doesn't play?
Would be if he had some kind of setback, say, tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe you test it out on the field on Sunday, and as long as you don't go, this is a little tighter, that's sore.
If he wakes up tomorrow morning, my hammy feels a little tight, then, yeah, he would be a late scratch. But all reports were that he felt good, he didn't have any setbacks, and got two full practices in. Now, Aaron Wilson thinks he'll be on a snap count, which would make sense your first game. You know, your stamina.
Especially with the hamstring.
Well, your stamina, and you haven't played in 6 weeks. Maybe you're not ready to run that much.
Yeah, especially with the hamstring. Those are obviously very tricky injuries that can linger over a long period of time if you don't take care of it correctly. It's not something you can just grit your teeth and fight through. It's got to run its course and be 100%.
So that is the good.
Potentially very good, especially, you get Robert Woods back, and we're going to talk about a wide receiver who's out. You're getting Derek Stingley back. We're going to talk about a cornerback that's out. So you needed these guys coming back to balance out what you're losing.
Other guys who went from DNP to full or limited to full, Will Anderson Jr., Blake Cashman, John Grenard, Christian Harris, Charlie Heck.
George Fant.
Josh Jones, George Fant, John Mechie.
Blake Cashman.
Had to make that move up, but they did. Here's the bad news.
There's a lot.
Fullback Andrew Beck, he's out.
That one I don't worry about as much.
Kymie Fairbairn, out. Jake Hansen, out. Brevin Jordan, out. Jimmy Ward, did not practice all week, out.
Yeah, it hurts.
Henry Toto, Back-to-back DNPs, out. Damian Pierce, out. Nico Collins, back-to-back DNPs, out.
Officially out, yeah. And this next name you're going to mention, I know he's actually questionable, but from what I've read, there's no way he's playing.
Steven Nelson has not practiced all week long.
Yeah, he's not playing.
He's out.
He's out. I know they list him as questionable right now, but there's no way he's playing.
No, if you've got and a neck issue and you couldn't practice all week long, not even on Friday, not even for the walkthrough portion, you're out.
Yeah, and going on the road facing Joe Burrow, and I know T. Higgins is out, but going on the road facing Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, being down your best corner, certainly, it helps to have Stingley back, but as you mentioned, he hasn't played in 6 weeks. You don't know what level of stamina he has. You don't know if he's got a little rust coming back from the injury. So at least you don't have two, you know, 1,000-yard capable wide receivers you have to chase down. Now it's Chase and Tyler Boyd, and maybe you can say Tyler Boyd's also a 1,000-yard capable wide receiver. But, yeah, that's a big-time injury to deal with Ja'Marr Chase being down Steven Nelson.
And I also wonder, you know, Chase has been banged up, right?
He's been really good recently, though.
What's he doing, back injury, hip injury?
Yeah, he didn't practice earlier in the week, but he got back in for a limited practice, and the feeling that I've read in Cincinnati is that he'll play. T. Higgins is out, though.
Higgins is out, but Ja'Marr Chase might be, realistically, a good pop from being out.
He could be on a snap count. We'll see.
But, I mean, you get hit. Like, if you're hurt in your back, your hip area, and you take a shot there, you might come out of the game for a
while. Yeah, maybe Burrow leaves one high and he has to jump up and then falls down and lands on his back like Mike Williams seems to do every single game he ever plays. And then you might see Chase leave the game.
It's going to be – look, this is going to be a challenge. The Bengals offense has been clicking.
Yeah, they found it.
Joe Burrow has gotten healthy.
They found it. They ripped apart the 49ers, what was it, 2 weeks ago. They've – whatever struggles they were having earlier in the season while Joe Burrow was coming back from that calf injury seemed to completely have disappeared.
The 49ers got ripped up by Burrow so bad they went out and traded for Chase Young.
yeah, they did.
You know, can the Texans get pressure on Burrow? Because their line's not great. You can get pressure on Burrow. But if you blitz him, much like you blitz C.J. Stroud, he's going to burn you.
See, I don't even – the way I hope they attack the Bengals offense is kind of using what Bill Belichick has done for years against number one wide receivers. We saw him do this with DeAndre Hopkins, and it always seemed to work, where you take your number two corner and put that – or, I'm sorry, you take your first corner and put that guy on the Bengals' number two wide receiver. So in this case, with T. Higgins out, that'd be Tyler Boyd. And then you take your number two corner and put him in double coverage with the safety, kind of bracketing high and low on Ja'Marr Chase and just basically try to take him completely out of the game and challenge Joe Burrow to hit a tight end, to hit the running backs in the backfield, or to hit Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, Belichick would have that corner get up there and try to get a good jam.
Yeah, and he'd stay underneath, the safety be over the top, and by taking the number one corner and putting on your number two guy, because it makes sense, you know, if you're going to double cover, you shouldn't be wasting your number one corner on if you're doubling. Take the lesser corner, use him along with the safety to bracket high-low and take that number one wide receiver out.
The idea was to make the quarterback get to his third read.
Right.
And if you have to get to your third read...
Without T. Higgins on the field.
If you've got to get to your third read, I'm thinking that one of my guys is going to hit you.
Yeah.
So...
And yeah, who would even be that... With T. Higgins out, who is even that third read?
Tight end.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it Nixon?
They don't have a great tight end, so
you know,
I think...
Is the running back...
Look, I mean, obviously, I'm not saying you do that, you win the game as it being automatic. But I think if the Texans can deploy that strategy successfully, you're going to keep yourself in the ballgame.
I think having Robert Woods back without having Nico Collins, I think that's important. You're hoping that Noah Brown can replicate the breakout game.
You mean
game
Andre
that he had.
Johnson Jr.?
Yeah, the breakout that game. You know what? If you could move Noah Brown into Nico's role. Because you obviously don't
like
want to
change.
Like
a down-the-field guy?
You don't want to change Tank's role. But if you move Noah Brown to what Nico's role was, and then you've got Robert Woods in his traditional role, Tank in his traditional role, can Noah Brown excel? I mean, look, he's a big receiver. He's a big, tall, physical receiver, kind of like Nico is. So can you utilize those advantages, get those back shoulder throws, get those crossing routes, you know, kind of utilize him the way that you utilize Nico Collins and keep your offense moving. Because if you're going to beat the Bengals, you've got to be able to throw it down the field. Up close, they jam the passing lanes. They're going to get tip balls. They're trying. If you throw anything, they want to jam you up short. But if you get into that second level, they're vulnerable.
And I think it's got to be a big game for Dalton Schultz. The Bengals are dead last in the league in points allowed. This is from a fantasy perspective, but dead last in points allowed to tight ends. Dalton Schultz should be able to eat against the Bengals.
Dalton Schultz up the seam. Gimme, gimme. It's going to do it for us for tonight. Rockets with a big win. Looking for the Texans to have a big game against the Bengals on Sunday. Appreciate my man Brian McDonald on the other side of the glass. We'll see you all next week. Have a great night. H-Town!
ESPN 97.5.com. Aya Kane Powder.
There's a shortage of perfect breasts in this world. It would be a pity to damage yours.
Oh, Wesley, darling.